I started out with a made-up mind to one day cross the finish line. I'm pressing toward the mark and for the prize. At times I've had to stand my ground as Satan tried to turn me around, but I will not be hindered by his lies. I'm not gonna walk away. I've got too much at stake. I've come too far to turn back now. Every battle that I have fought will soon be forgotten. I'm trading this old cross in for a crown.
I can almost hear them cheer me on and see the ones who have reached home. They await for us to win this race. A banquet like we've never known will be held at God's royal throne, and there we'll be rewarded for our faith. I'm not gonna walk away. I've got too much at stake. I've come too far to turn back now. Every battle that I have fought will soon be forgotten. I'm trading this old cross in for a crown. I'm not gonna walk away. I've got too much at stake. I've come too far to turn back now. Every battle that I have fought will soon be forgotten. I'm trading this old cross in for a crown. I'm trading this old cross in for a crown.
All right, wonderful. Thank you, fellas. And, I enjoy men singing. I enjoy the ladies singing, but there's just something about a men's trio or a men's quartet. Boy, I'm telling you, when they blend and those harmonies hit, boy, I'm telling you, they hit a nerve, don't they? And I enjoyed that, guys. And we might have just have them come up here and just sing. How about that? Enjoyed that. Thank you. God bless you for being here. Take your Bible, if you would, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Are you happy to be in the house of God this morning? Boy, we have a privilege of being in the house of God and worshiping the Lord this morning. You know, there's a lot of the world that does not have the privileges that we have. We must not take them for granted. And so praise God for His blessings. Thank God for His goodness upon America. 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. Would you stand with me, please? We're going to read the first 8 verses of 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. If you found your place there, follow along as I read. Paul writing here to the church at Corinth. Now listen, here's an important thing about this. We believe here at Trinity Baptist Church of keeping things in context. Right? We don't go searching for truths and just pick verses out of the Bible to match whatever we believe. Okay? What we do is we find out what the Bible teaches and we look and find verses that match up with what the Scripture teaches. And that's a big problem today. Is what happens. Man formulates ideas and doctrines and then goes and searches Scripture and try to find Scripture to match up with his man-made doctrine. Instead of taking the Word of God and let the Word of God dictate to us what we're supposed to believe. That way you won't get into messing things around with heresy and blasphemy and things like that. I don't like those words very much, so I try to stay clear of them. But looking today at the Word of God, the Apostle Paul is addressing believers now. Are you with me? I said believers. He's addressing here at this church at Corinth. He says, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not charity. I am become as sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains. Now notice this statement. And have not charity, I am nothing. Now that's a pretty provoking statement right there. He says, I can have all of these talents and abilities, but if I don't have charity, he said, I am absolutely nothing. Look what he says in verse 3. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never, did you see that? Charity never faileth. Now, I want you to go back up, if you would, to verse number 2. The last portion of that verse, Paul says, so that I can... Listen, if I had all of these abilities, if I had all of these things, and feed the poor, and had a prayer life, and all of these wonderful things outwardly that I do, he said, though I possess all of those, and I don't have charity, I want you to notice in verse number 2, he said, I am nothing. Nothing. And I want to take that phrase and I want to speak to you today on this subject. Nothing for something. Nothing for something. Father, would you meet with us now in the short time that we have? Open our heart, our mind, and the spirit of the people today that the truth of God, when it goes forth, might be received on open hearts and open spirits and fertile ground today, that it might take root, Lord, today and produce the desired effect. Lord, you promised us in Scripture that your word would not return void. But when it goes forth, it will accomplish the purpose that you sent forth. And so we ask today that our minds would be open to what your word is, and that, Father, today decisions would be made concerning our lives. Some today need to make the decision to put their faith and trust in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Some believers today need to make a choice and a decision about their Christianity and about their faithfulness and their loyalty to the things of God. Whatever the case may be, we commend ourselves and this service into your hands today, simply asking you, please, Father, meet with us. Oh, sweet Holy Spirit, move up and down the aisles of this church and from heart to heart and do your work, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. You can be seated. America and the world today are facing more than just an economic crisis or an energy crisis. You see, this past Tuesday, many of you, like I did, sat and watched the State of the Union address by our president. He addressed subjects such as the economy, and everybody said, right? He addressed energy, and everybody said, he addressed immigration, education, the military, gun control. Listen to me. 70 times he was interrupted over speaking about these types of matters. You see, he proposed a lot of things before Congress and the people in an attempt now to resolve some of the problems that each of these things present to America and the citizens of America. Now listen carefully. Politically speaking, he said all the right things that most Americans wanted to hear, right? Because we wanted somebody to address the economy, we wanted somebody to address energy and gun control and all of these different things, and he got standing ovations many times over these types of things, and because many of them were politically generated resolutions. But can I say that our president, our Congress, our Supreme Court have not address the main problem of what's going on in America and around the world. I did not hear one reference to what can be done to strengthen our homes, what can be done to strengthen our families. I did not hear references of what we can do as a nation to strengthen the very context and fabric of what we are. But I heard a lot of things about the economy and about money and about energy and about all of these things. And these things are important. But listen to me, the majority of the applause was over resolutions that had some tie to our pocketbook. Amen. I'll just amen right there. That's okay. I'm telling the truth, so you might as well just say, hey, babe, hey, that's right. If you heard the same speech I heard, it's the same thing. Everybody's excited when we're all talking about how the pocketbook's going to turn out, right? But folks, listen to me. The pocketbook is not the problem. And yet people gave him a standing ovation. And again, I'm not saying that he said anything wrong. What I'm saying today is this, that most of the speech had something to do with our pocketbook rather than our homes and our families and values and principles and ethics. That's the problem. You take all the guns out of people's hands you want, but listen, until we change the moral fabric of our country, nothing's going to matter. Now what I'm trying to help us with today is this. The major crisis that America faces today doesn't have to do with the economy. It doesn't have to do with more finding more energy or clean air or gun control. Listen, the major crisis that we're facing today in this country and around the world is that nations are filled with nothing. Nothing. You see, we have little to no moral values or ethics or principles or respect for life or respect for one another. That's where the issue lies. You see, we've been lured. Listen to me. Listen to me this morning. We've been lured into the satanic trap of judgment, and the people of America are beginning to make every issue either a social issue, a racial issue, or an economic issue. We're not making the issues about the things that we're facing, making them God issues. And that's the problem of today. Listen to me. I thought Jesus came to set us free of this type of thinking. I thought He came, and when He spoke, whosoever will, that it meant that anybody that wanted to come and had nothing to do with their social status, their skin color, or their economic position. I thought whosoever meant everybody. May I say to you that today, that's what sets Christianity separate from everybody else, is because we believe in a whosoever salvation. Doesn't matter what your social status, skin color, economic position is. Amen. We're addressing all the issues except the main issue. And it's the moral fabric of our country. It's what's happening among the people. Listen to me. Bible salvation and Christianity changes your view and provides light for one to see that people are souls for whom Christ died and not just some person with a different nationality. They have a soul for whom Jesus died. And when He said, for whosoever will, that means everyone. You see, those who cannot see beyond the social, racial, or economic issues of our day, the Scripture says they are in darkness and they cannot see afar off. Does America have problems? Yes, absolutely. But the answer is a revival of nothing for something. You see, we've lived in such a society and such a day that people want something for nothing. Now listen, you say, what are you talking about there, preacher? I'm talking about, we have often heard that phrase said about some people. And what they're referring to is somebody or a nation that wants something for nothing. If they're making a reference to people who want the benefits of something without the personal investment to deserve those benefits. In other words, they want equity without effort. Now listen to me this morning. What I'm trying to help us with is this. Is that today in our text that we have noticed a very common thing that many times, listen to me, that many times we misinterpret from the Scripture because we always make the parallel of charity with love. Right? Or we always make the parallel of charity with some type of almsgiving or benevolence. Now listen, the apostle here is addressing the people of God. He's addressing believers. And here in this letter to the Corinthians, he addresses a subject, a very clear subject. And he focuses in and uses the word charity here in the English language as it's been translated for us today. You see, that nothing for something is a willful exchange of our attitude and spirit toward one another. It's a choice to be moral. It's a choice to be ethical. It's a choice to be principled and respectful. We just need a revival of something, and that something today, folks, is addressed in our context. It's called charity. We need a revival of that in our lives. You see, charity doesn't just encompass love. It encompasses action. It's caring. It's kindness. It's goodwill. You see, charity is a way of thinking, not just a single act towards someone. You see, charity has often been relegated strictly to the emotion of love. Or, more recently, it's been associated with benevolence and almsgiving. And those who are less fortunate, and by the way, folks, there's nothing wrong with helping the less fortunate. But charity is more than that. It's more than just the emotion of love. You see, the word charity incorporates the giving of godly love and meeting the needs of others, but those others are believers. That's who he's addressing here. Listen, you say, what are you getting at, preacher? I'm telling you that 1 Corinthians 13 verses 1 through 8 and the use of charity has to do with how believers treat each other. That's what he's addressing. Now, what I'm trying to help us with this morning is simply this. Boom. Hang on, folks. I got to get my eyes. Unless you want me to continue not being able to see anything. You see, this morning, regardless of what we have thought charity is, regardless of what we have come to a conclusion, because all of our life, have we not heard charity is love? It's the same thing as love. It's love. It's love. It's love. Well, I'm here to tell you that that is only a degree of charity. Charity goes beyond that. Listen, the apostle here tells us that that word charity, when you go and look, and many of you have heard the Greek word agape, right? Now, there are some places in Scripture in which agape is translated godly love. For instance, like Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8. But God commendeth His love toward who? Us. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That is an agape love. In other words, God's love for us. Now listen. And then in some places, it relates to men's love for God. Matthew 24, verse 12, Jesus, speaking of the last day, says, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Not necessarily the love for each other, but the love for God. You say, man, we must be getting there. I agree with you. You see, what I'm trying to say this morning, folks, is charity is the product of the genuinely saved. You see, an unsaved person knows nothing of charity. Do you hear me? The unsaved knows nothing of this type of what I'm talking about today. Because according to Scripture, if they're not saved, they cannot display charity. Therefore, they cannot give anything in this area. That's the reason they don't know how to treat believers. You see, some today need an attitude adjustment by the Holy Spirit of God. You see, outside of Jesus, I have nothing to offer others. But can I say that inside of Jesus, I have something to offer others? That's the reason what we need today is we need nothing to take that thing which we can't have and cannot offer and give it to the Lord and adopt something. We need to take our old attitude and get rid of it and adopt the something, the charity that only comes through Jesus Christ. You see, you don't even know how to be charitable and how to love outside the Lord. You see, some of you here this morning, you just think you know how to love. See, the scripture says, listen, the Bible is very plain. God is love. That means outside of the Lord, we don't know how to love one another. What I'm trying to help us with this morning, listen to me. If you're here today and you know not Jesus Christ, you can come and experience this kind of love that's incorporated in charity. You can come and exchange your nothing for something. You see, without Jesus, you know what I am? A nobody. Yeah, I'm a nobody. 27 or 28 years ago, the invitation was given at this church. I came forward because I was a nobody. I had nothing. You know what I was in life? A tinkling cymbal. That's all I was. I had nothing. That's why I was mistreating people. I didn't know how to treat the people of God. But boy, I'm telling you, when I came and I exchanged that nothing for something, and I decided, you know what, I'm tired of being a nobody. And I came and gave my heart to Christ. That day I became a somebody. And that somebody got something called charity. The Holy Ghost of God came into me. And you know what? I started loving people like they ought to be loved. I started having a heart to do things for people and treat the people of God right. Prior to that, I was empty. You see, this morning, if you know not Christ, you do not know this type of charity that I'm speaking of. Maybe people are constantly calling you selfish or stubborn or spoiled. Can I say there may be a reason for that? It may be that you know not Christ. Are you tired of being an old smug person that's carrying around the label of a nothing because of your attitude toward others? Let me tell you something. Christ is the only hope you have of changing that. You can get yourself involved in the greatest experience known to Christianity today. And that is exactly what the apostle's covering here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. Take your Bible if you would. Hold your place there. Go to James chapter 2. Go to James chapter 2 for just a second. Let me show you something here. James chapter number 2. I'm going to give you some things quickly here this morning. All right, James chapter 2. And look at verse number 15. James 2 and verse number 15. Listen to what the scripture reads here. If a brother or sister. Who's that talking about? That's believers. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food. It sounds like they're kind of in a pickle, right? They're in a situation. And one of you, believers, say unto them, another believer, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body. What doth it profit? Now listen, here's our cliche. Well, I tell you what, somebody reveals something, so listen, I have a need. I'm going through a tough time. And here's our cop-out, okay? You ready? Here it is. I'll pray for you. Now, that's exactly what James is saying. He's saying, listen, yeah, pray for them, but do something about it. Help them. There's a need. He says, what good are you going to do for them? Say, listen, I'm going to pray for you, and then send them away. Listen, very few people are going to turn prayer down, but God says faith without works is dead. And to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is. You see, the thing about it is, there's more to this Christianity than meets the eye, right? You see, this love this charity that Paul is talking about here supersedes just the emotion of love. It supersedes giving out to someone. It's a way of life. Now go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Look at it. He says, charity. He said, if I don't have it, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long. You know what that is? That's patience with people. It's kind. Where's that gone today? Charity envieth not. It vaunteth not itself. It's not puffed up. In other words, listen, folks, charity is one of those things in a Christian life. It's not about me. It's about God. It's about preeminence of Jesus Christ. That's what it's about. Look what else it says. It says, doth not, speaking of charity, behave itself unseemly. You know what? It matches up with the scripture.
It has a separated, holy life connected to it. Look what else. Seeth not her own, because you know what it's always doing? You know what Christianity, sincere charity in Christianity is always doing? It's always looking on the things of others. Always. It says it seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked. In other words, folks, listen. As a believer, we're not to be easily offended. That's the reason I probably said some things this morning and somebody, I can already tell you inside you. Hey, listen, folks, don't be offended. Right? Don't be offended. You know, the thing about it is, this morning he says, charity as a believer, it's not offensive. In other words, we're not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity. Hey, listen, this type of charity we're talking about in Christianity is one of those things that doesn't gloat in another's failure. Matter of fact, the Scripture says that if a man be overtaken in a fault, Galatians 6:1, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. You see, what I'm saying to you this morning is, that's the type of charity. There's more than just the emotion of love involved here. It's how we treat others. Listen to me, folks. That's the problem that we're experiencing in America. The fabric has been compromised. How we're treating each other as believers. Charity suffereth long and is kind. It envieth not, vaunteth not itself. Did you notice it's not unseemly? Seeketh not her own, not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. That's the word of God you have in your hand. It beareth all things. You know what charity does among believers? When the word comes and says, listen, a brother or a sister, they've fallen into sin. Sin, it's not, well, thank God, what we deserved. Or, like this. Well, they made their bed, now they're going to have to lay in it. Let me tell you something, folks. That's not Christianity. That's not what I read in the Scriptures. You know what we're supposed to do when a brother or sister is overtaken a fall? We're supposed to seek them out. They shouldn't have to come to us. We ought to find them. And seek them out. Listen, did you notice that most of the time Jesus sought people out? Hey, listen, you think Zacchaeus was looking for him? No, he just wanted to see what was going on. Jesus called him down out of the tree. You see, do you think that Jesus went through Samaria? He says, I must needs go through Samaria. You know why he went through Samaria? Because there was a divine appointment. He sought them out. We need to seek each other out in time of need. Notice what else it says. It says, rejoiceth not iniquity, but rejoiceth to beareth all things, believeth all things. Folks, listen to me. Let me help you with something. Don't always believe what other people say about other people. Amen. Amen, myself. You know what? Because most of the time, what people say about somebody else is skewed to their vantage point. And normally, a lot of times, they have something against that person. And no, a lot of times, what they tell you is not always the facts. That's the reason you need to hold off. As you know what? Charity does that. A believer says, whoa, 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 time out, time out. We ought not to be talking about a brother and sister in Christ like that. But you don't understand what they did. Doesn't matter what they did. Time out. We ought not to be talking about this. This is a brother and sister in Christ. This is a born-again believer we're talking about here. He says, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things. You know what? It wants to see them succeed. And then it says that charity endureth all things and says charity never faileth. Never. Why? Because it's own. Listen, charity has to have a source. Charity has to have a foundation for which it finds its power. And the only source that charity has is the Holy Ghost of God that lives inside the believer. If you're here today and you don't know Christ, hey, let me tell you something. One of the greatest experiences in life is to get born again, and you can get in on this charity thing. Get involved and receive the blessings of God. Well, let me ask you a few questions this morning. All right? First of all, let me ask you this. When's the last time that you've done something for someone without expecting anything in return? Boy, it gets real quiet. Let me read that again. Did I not read that in English? When is the last time you've done something for someone without expecting anything in return? That we just did it because that's what we ought to do as believers. Hey, we just open the wallet up and pull a 20 out and give it to them. We don't say, "Now I want that back Tuesday by 5. You see, what I'm saying is, folks, listen to what the Scripture says. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. You know what? Here's my rule of thumb. My rule of thumb is this. If God lays it on your heart, He probably wants you to do something about it. Is that right? Hey, if He burdens you about somebody, it may be even He burdens you about their soul. So listen to me. Why are you calling the preacher? If He told you and burdened you, you go to their house. You witness to them. You give them the gospel. You're the one that's cried over their soul. You're the one that spent time praying for them. Why would you call the preacher when He's burdened you to do it? Hey, I'm just saying to you, when's the last time you've done something for somebody without expecting anything in return? Let me ask you another question. When's the last time that you've made a kind gesture towards someone out of respect? Well, I tell you one thing, isn't it amazing? If we took a calculator, counters. Take it with you during the day. And every time that you speak negative about somebody, go click. Come on, help me out. And then when you speak it again, just click. And here's what most of us, you know what you'll find out? That the majority of the day, here's what you're doing. Click, 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 click. Because you know what? Normally we start from the time we get up to the time we go to bed. Because it seems like that we have adapted this idea of seeing the negative in everybody's life, and it's like we can't see any positives. Hey, let me ask you this. When Jesus was on the cross, what positive did He see in you? Why should He die for you? Listen, there was nothing in you or I that deserved what Jesus had to go through, and yet He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He was still willing to go for you and I. And folks, listen, He said, "Look, that's what we're supposed to be." When's the last time that you've done something for somebody without expecting anything in return? When's the last time that you've made a kind gesture towards someone out of respect? Listen, if you had two counters and you clicked every time that you said something kind and every time that you said something hurtful, you know what? At the end of the day, you would find out that your count as far as what you said negatively compared to what you said positively, it would hurt your feelings. Because here's what you'd come to the conclusion. I didn't realize I was saying that. I didn't realize I was saying those negative things. But you'll find out that many times we're a whole lot more negative than we are positive. Let me ask you another question. When's the last time that you've given something to someone to meet a need in their life? You know what, as believers, you know what we're supposed to be doing? We're supposed to be looking for opportunities to be a blessing. Listen, we shouldn't have to wait till somebody comes. We ought to be looking for things. Listen, you ought to make it a habit every day of getting on your knees and say, "Lord, I realize, I don't know what today has in store, but would You give me an opportunity? Show me a need that I can fulfill and then use me to fulfill that need." Now, a lot of times, here's what happens. God says, "Yeah." He says, "You know that certain family in there? They need two new tires. They're going to need $200. Okay, Lord, let's change the direction here. I wouldn't really mean that. Can I just say something kind to them? Would you allow me to do that?" He says, "Yeah, while you're giving them the $200. You see, when's the last time that we've given something to someone to meet a need? Hey, folks, listen, I'm going to tell you something. Here's a new innovative idea about Christianity. Did you know that Christianity is that what encompasses it and what's one of the main themes is sacrifice? It's part of who we are. And listen, we're supposed to be sacrificing for one another as believers. Let me ask you another question. When's the last time that you've spoken words of kindness or encouragement to someone? Anybody? No, don't raise your hand. I mean, anybody know if anybody's going through a hard time? I'm not necessarily talking about someone sitting next to you, but does anybody know of any other believer going through a hard time right now? You say, yeah, I do, preacher. All right, then let me ask you this. When's the last time you've called them? When's the last time you've gone by and knocked on their door and said, listen, I just want to stop by. Can I have prayer with y'all? I just want to stop by and make sure that y'all are doing okay. You see, folks, listen, my dad taught me a principle a long time ago. Here's what he said. He said, you need to speak kindness to everyone because everybody's going through a hard time. And can I tell you today, we get enough negativity out in the world. Why do we need it inside the house of God, among God's people? I'm just saying, when's the last time that you've spoken words of kindness or encouragement to someone? Let me ask you one last question. When's the last time that you've reached out to someone going through a hard time and went looking for that opportunity and not only knew it but reached out to them? Folks, do you know that we've got people in our church that their lives are in the balance even as I speak? When's the last time that we've sent a card? When's the last time we've made a phone call, a personal visit? When's the last time that we just went and bought some groceries and just took them and said, what if they don't need them? It doesn't matter. If God told you to do it, do it. Doesn't matter. When's the last time we put gas in the tank of somebody that we knew was going through a tough time? Say, well, preacher, I'm going through a tough time too. Yeah, but if God laid it upon your heart, He's going to provide whatever you give them. Good measure, pressed down, and running over. I'm just asking this morning, when's the last time you've done something for somebody and expecting nothing in return? When's the last time that we made a kind gesture towards someone out of respect? When's the last time that we've given something to someone to meet a need in their life? Or when's the last time that we've spoken words of kindness or encouragement to someone? You know, Proverbs 18 verse 2 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. So what comes out of our mouth is either life words or death words to people. And then lastly, when is the last time that you've reached out to someone going through a hard time? This morning, there's two types of people here. There's saved people and there's lost people. The saved people are the only ones that can tap into charity. Because what the Apostle Paul's talking about here, he's talking about something that goes beyond the emotion of love. He's talking about something that goes far beyond almsgiving and benevolence. He's talking about something here that's a way of life to a believer, and it's how we treat one another. Now, folks, let me wrap this up and say this. Could it be that the world doesn't want to have anything to do with church and organized religion anymore because of how believers treat each other? Could that be it? Could it be that the world looks like, wait a minute, why would I want to get involved in that? Where if I mess up and stuff, they're going to kick me to the curb. And yet, listen to me, and yet one dark night in a garden called Gethsemane, as Jesus was awaiting His arrest, there was one who didn't deserve spit, walked up to Him and betrayed Him with a kiss. And yet He looked at Judas Iscariot and said, friend. You know why? Because Jesus understands how to love to the very end. Some of you this morning have mistreated people. Maybe you've jumped to judgment. Maybe you've done some things that we've talked about this morning. Can I say this morning, do this. Come this morning, make a decision to get nothing for something. Come this morning and to trade in that nothing, because without charity as a believer, the Scripture says we're nothing. We're nothing. Because people aren't necessarily concerned how much you know until they know how much you care. Would you bow your heads for just a few moments? Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one's looking around. How many can say, preacher, I am a born-again believer. I've been saved by the blood of Christ. I put my faith and trust in Jesus, and I'm not ashamed of it. I want you to give a testimony before the Lord. Slip your hand way up high and say, that's me. I'm a born-again believer, no question about it. If I die today, heaven is my home. All right? God bless you. You can put your hands down this morning. Almost without exception, every hand just about was raised. But there were a few that could not raise their hand. And I don't want you to leave this morning without knowing Christ. I don't want you to leave this morning and not have the opportunity to tap into the greatest part of Christianity that exists. And that's the area of charity and dealing with believers one toward another. But you'd say, preacher, if I died today, I'm not sure heaven's my home. I need prayer. Please pray for me. Nobody's looking but me this morning. And if you're here this morning, you'd say, preacher, that's me. Pray for me. I don't know for sure that heaven's my home. I've got some doubt about my eternal security. And would you pray for me? Nobody's looking at me. You say, preacher, if I died, I'm not sure where I'd go. Pray for me. Slip your hand up there and say, that's me. That's me. Just slip it up this morning. Just slip it up, slip it up, slip it up. Say, preacher, that's me. God bless you. You can slip your hand down. There's one. Who would join this one? Say, preacher, I'm not a believer this morning. Nobody's ever taken the Bible and showed me how to be saved. Pray for me. Anybody else like that will join this one and say, that's me. Why don't you slip your hand way up high and say, preacher, pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. Anybody else? Anybody else? All right? God bless you. I wonder if there might be someone here this morning that would say, preacher, I am a believer, but I've never been baptized after I got saved. I've been told that's what I need to do according to the Scriptures. Would you pray for me? I need to obey God in that area of my life. Pray for me, preacher. Why don't you slip your hand way up high and say, that's me. That's me. Just slip it up. Slip it up. God bless you and you and you. You can slip your hands down. Anybody else? Anybody else? Say, preacher, that's me. God bless you. You can put your hands down and say, preacher, that's me. There's three that raised their hands and said, preacher, I've been saved, never been baptized. Pray for me. Anybody would like to join these three? Anybody else? Anybody else? God bless you. You can slip your hand down. There's four. Anybody else? Say, preacher, that's me. Just slip it up. I'll pray for you because it's the right thing. Anybody else? All right? Then I wonder, if you'd allow me to address all believers this morning. If you're here and you said, preacher, charity has not been one of the preeminent things in my Christian life. Maybe you've mistreated someone. Maybe that you've made a false accusation against someone. I don't know what it is. But I ask you five questions this morning. And say, preacher, I'm doing two out of the five. I'm doing one out of the five. You say, but I'm doing real good, preacher. I've done three out of the five. Well, why not let's shoot for five out of five? I wonder how many believers this morning say, preacher, charity has not been one of the preeminent things in my life. It hasn't been one of the things that's been predominant in my life, and I need to work on that area, how I treat other people that are believers. And you'd say, preacher, please, please pray for me in that area. I'm a Christian, but I need to enhance that area of my life. Why don't you slip your hand way up high and say, that's me, that's me, that's me. Just slip it up, slip it up, slip it up, slip it up. All right. God bless you. You can put your hands down. The Father, I ask, please, that you'd meet with us in this invitation this morning. Lord, we take nothing for granted here at this church. We realize that unless you move, unless you draw people to salvation, it's impossible for them to come. And unless you do the work and convict and bring them to that place of knowledge of Christ, then, Father, today all will have been vain. Lord, if they walk out of here still knowing that they're lost and make no decision, because we have no guarantees whatsoever of tomorrow, those that need to be saved, save them today, please. And then, Father, I pray for those that need to be baptized, that they would come, and whatever the case may be, and maybe it's a young person, and maybe they rode in through one of our transportation ministries and buses or vans or whatever the case may be, and, Lord, they want to be baptized and do the right thing, that they would speak to the person that is in charge of their route and to get them to talk to their parents to get permission for them to come and be baptized. And then, Lord, maybe there are some here today that are believers, and charity has not been one of those things that has been preeminent in their lives. Maybe, Lord, they've said something, done something, or maybe their expectations have been wrong. Maybe their motives have been wrong. Would you today give them revival in their heart to make those decisions to do right? Maybe there are some here this morning, Lord, that need a church home, and they're seeking your will about where to serve you through a local church. If it is your will for them to be here, that today would be that day that they'd step out and come forward and join with this group of believers to reach our city and surrounding areas for the cause of Christ. Thank you, Lord, for being so good to us. And thank you for all that you've done in this service today. Meet, I pray, the needs of the people in this invitation in Christ's name. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, would you stand with me if you would, please? We're going to begin to sing. The instrument's going to begin to play. Listen, if I prayed for you and you raised your hand, would you come and join me at the altar? We'll pray. We got people that will pray with you if you'd like to come. And if you're a lady, won't you step out? We'll have a lady come and pray with you. You said, "Preacher, I don't know for sure that I'm saved." This is your opportunity to come. Come on. Come on. This is your opportunity. Come on. For those of you that raised your hand, say, I need the Lord, preacher. You step out. We'll take somebody, or we'll have somebody take you aside to show you how to be saved. Some of you need to be baptized. Would you come? Would you come? This is your opportunity. This is your opportunity. Come on. Come on. We'll wait on you. Hey, believer, those of you that raised your hand, what are we going to do about it? What are we going to do about it today? Are we just going to continue in the same patterns that we're in, or are we going to do something about how we treat other people? You mean nobody? Nobody's ever mistreated a believer? And we're all right with God this morning? Come on, folks. If we don't get right, America is not going to change. The Church of the Lord Jesus Christ is not going to change.